After my heart attack, cash from Active Care meant I had choices.
When I had cancer, cash from Active Care meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is Active Care? Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. Active Care gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com.
The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
We're talking about food security and Indigenous knowledge in the downtown east side in Strathcona. Strathcona Community Gardens has found itself surrounded by the new tent city that was displaced from the former Oppenheimer Park, then Crab Park tent cities. They've developed relationships with the community there and are resuming their youth programs for the fall with safe COVID-19 distancing requirements in effect. Although the applications have closed for those, there are still programs open that you can find at eya.ca. And we talked to Marika von Riewick. She's a program director with the Environmental Youth Alliance, and their programs include Indigenous Knowledge for Youth, as well as pollinator and bee education courses and youth-led programs in Strathcona Community Gardens. Thanks a lot, Marika, for joining us here on The Pulse on CFRO.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And, you know, it's such a beautiful time of this summer, despite all the stuff we've been through with the pandemic. I think a lot of people are just seeing how beautiful the city we live in is. And I know you're helping contribute to that through some of the work you're doing with gardening. Tell me a little bit about that work.
Yeah, so we're so grateful at EYA to be an organization whose programs are based outside, because that privilege has allowed us to continue running through this pandemic, with, of course, adaptations in place. So the kinds of work that we do in the garden range from, we do a lot of habitat restoration, so removing different invasive species. We also have a native plant nursery at our garden at Strathcona Community Garden. And there we start different native plants from seeds. And those plants grow up to either be planted in our habitat restoration projects and also given out to the community.
Hmm.
We also do a lot of work just supporting habitat for the different wildlife that live in the city. So building bird boxes and bee houses and putting them up in the community and also giving those away as well.
Wow. So, I mean, people don't often think about the city as being a place that's, you know, an environment or that is a place that has a lot of nature because we see so much pavement. So when you talk about habitat restoration, what can be done here and what have you found that has worked?
Yeah, well, that's like a big issue that we're trying to address in recent years at EYA is urban biodiversity conservation. And yes, as you mentioned, David, like a lot of people don't realize that we have nature in this city. There are so many species of birds that fly through here. We're actually located on the Pacific Flyway. So there are many migratory species that pass through Vancouver. And also we have many resident bird species. We also have tons of wild bees that live in the city. And also lots of mammals, raccoons, skunks, coyotes, and all of these this wildlife can use our help. So the different ways that we can support wildlife in our city include like planting habitat and also just gardening with wildlife in mind. Many people, when they're gardening, they use a lens of aesthetics, so trying to make things look beautiful. But sometimes the plants that we select for aesthetics don't always support wildlife. So a way to bridge those things is to plant native plants, so plants that are indigenous to the Pacific Northwest region. There's many different suppliers that you can, or a few different suppliers that you can find online. And EYA actually also does plant giveaways. And those are associated with a small donation to the organization that supports our youth. And we do those giveaways in the springtime, so around April, May. So that's one way. And also just leaving spaces in your garden where wildlife can take refuge. So examples could be like leaving a small brush pile in your garden, putting out, creating a little like, we even have a rain garden at EYA where it's like a small depression in our garden that fills up with water. And the birds love to bathe in that. And bees also will come and take drinks from those types of places. And also, for the bees, you can make sure to leave out, with gardening, like leaving out, some plants in the, after the year they've grown, they leave behind a dried stem, and you can leave those out, and sometimes wild bees will also nest in those places.
We were just interviewing a few weeks ago, Hives for Humanity, and talking about their garden right down on Hastings, right next to Insight there. And I know that you guys have also been, I guess, building relationships with some of the Tent City folks as well, from what I understand.
Yes. Yeah. So there are new neighbors. Some of the youth in our program, I know they made a drum and gifted it to the community. So we've been trying to maintain friendly relations with our neighbors and keeping the youth in our programs connected with what's going on in their community.
Tell me about the youth programs, because I know that that's something that you've definitely been ongoing throughout this last very strange few months, but also are ramping up, I understand, for some expansion in the fall.
Yeah. So first of all, EYA is an old organization. We've been around for 25 years, and we've evolved to many different, to focus on many different things over that time. But in the past 5 years or so, I would say our primary focus is addressing a couple issues. First of all, realizing that like connection to nature is a big deficit in today's society, that so many of us are focused on productivity, and we are becoming more and more disconnected from nature, especially in the city. And so that's one of the things we're aiming to do, is really helping youth connect to nature in the city. And the second thing that we're trying to address is just that a lot of, in the environmental field, people from the BIPOC community, so Black, Indigenous, and people of color, are commonly underrepresented. So we actually prioritize applications in our programs from youth that are BIPOC, and also youth that are facing other barriers, including like LGBTQ2S2+ youth, and also youth that are facing disabilities or youth that are facing poverty. So that's just kind of an overview on what EYA's approach is these days.
And you've always kind of understand how to like a very much environmental justice and environmental anti-racism approach.
Definitely. We meet at the intersection of environmental justice, environmental education, and also social justice. So that's kind of the approach to our programs. And then do you want me to dig into what our on-the-ground programs are going to look like this fall?
Yeah, I'd love to see that. And if there's folks in our listenership in the Downtown East Side and Strathcona and East Vancouver in general who might want to get involved, maybe some details on that too.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Okay, so first of all of EYA programs are based at Strathcona Community Garden, which is in the on the edge of the downtown east side. And we have three different categories of programs running this fall. First of all, we have our Nature Stewards programs, which are typically 8-week long programs where the youth come to the garden once per week and do a lot of the activities that I was mentioning earlier. Unfortunately, that program, we've just closed registration, so we don't have any more spots available in those programs. But there was so much interest. We actually had such a long wait list of youth this year. So hopefully we'll be able to expand that programming further in the spring. So for youth that are interested in that program, we welcome youth age 14 to 18 in those programs. And we'll be opening up for registration again in around January or February for our spring programs. Yeah, so that's one. Second, we have our Roots and Shoots program, which is a new program starting at EYA this year. And it's really, we're really excited about this program because it's a paid youth internship. And this is for youth ages 19 to 25. And the program includes a 12-week full-time, so Monday to Friday, or I think this fall they're doing Tuesday to Saturday. It's a 12-week long land-based learning program. And during that program, they'll be learning a lot of those same skills that I mentioned earlier, working with plants, supporting wildlife. But also on top of that, we give the youth training in first aid, as well as food safe and other employment-related skills. And after that 12 weeks, they transitioned into an 8-week supported work placement with an environmentally focused organization of their choice. So we're really trying to build those connections in the community and connect these youth with work opportunities that align with their interests in the environmental field. And third, so that our third program category of programs that we're offering this fall are our Wild Mind school field trips. And this is for the younger kids, grades K-7. And with that, teachers can bring their classrooms to the garden. The field trips focus on a few different categories, including like pollinators and plants, and birds as well. So teachers can take their pick on the different topics that they focus on. And yeah, we also have special adaptations in place, of course, for the field trips to make sure that everyone feels safe. So yeah, and if anyone wants to learn more about these EYA programs, we have really clear descriptions on our website. So you would just need to visit www.eya.ca and then click on the top bar. There's a link that says Our Programs, and it lists all the different programs that we run. And so that's where you can find out and learn more.
Do you think that there's, you mentioned kind of this, the intersections of like racial justice and poverty and social justice with the environment. And I'm wondering if you had any thoughts about how environmental groups have or have not been able to connect, for instance, with the Downtown East Side or with, the historic Hogan's Alley of Vancouver or with Chinatown. And if there's any thoughts you have on how, like what needs to change to make that kind of environmental justice of reality beyond your organization in the environmental movement more broadly?
I think first of all, just having more representation of people of different backgrounds, especially Black, Indigenous, and people of color, having more representation in the leadership of these organizations. Many environmental organizations, the leadership panels are predominantly white, and I think many organizations, especially with like the recent Black Lives Matter movement, are really like becoming aware of this and starting to take steps to address it. So I'm actually really hopeful for the future that now with everyone having these important values on our mind, that people are making steps towards bringing more diversity into the environmental community.
So, and I guess part of that is kind of being willing to change what the environmental community's like priorities and focus are. Like, I know that when I first heard about your group, I guess in the early 2000s, it was very much involved in, you know, connecting anti-globalization issues with, you know, companies and human rights practices. And I know that since then, there's been quite a few attempts at that in Canada, like the Youth Climate Coalition and that kind of thing. But it does seem like America sometimes is farther ahead on this, where people are actually talking about, you know, why are Black neighborhoods the most polluted and next to factories, or, you know, why are First Nations, you know, being polluted with uranium and that kind of stuff. And I'm wondering, is the Canadian movement actually shifting, do you think, or is there a lot more that needs to be done?
Yeah, I agree that there's a lot more that needs to be done. Yeah, I think there's a lot more growth that needs to happen, and that it'll take like the involvement, especially of people on the ground and lots of these grassroots organizations really starting to lift their voices and use the public platforms that we have at our disposal to bring these ideas and issues to the forefront. So, yeah, I totally agree that in Canada, there's a lot more work that needs to be done.
And kind of connects back to how you guys made the drum and gifted it to the Tent City, because in a sense, that's a social justice issue that just landed on your doorstep. But there's this definitely a very big economic divide right now in our city between over issues of drug use and homelessness and people using the streets and who gets to use the parks, for instance. And I wonder, how did people receive the drum? And has there been kind of a relationship building through that connection?
Yeah, it was actually our Roots and Shoots program that built the drum. So I wasn't there for the gifting ceremony. But yeah, we do have a lot of allyship between us and the community and the community in Strathcona Park. And I think also, like, I'd love to do a shout out to the community gardens that we work out of, Strathcona and Cottonwood Community Gardens. I know they have also been investing a lot of energy to build positive relationships between our communities. And yeah, to be honest, there have been a lot more challenges in the past few months due to the housing community moving next door to us. But we're trying to reach out to the different levels of government for support with that. And I think I'm also hopeful that things will be moving in a positive direction. And I just hope that soon we can find a more sustainable and long-term housing solution that meets the needs of the people in the community at Strathcona Park. So,
Well, anything else you wanted to add, Marika, before we go?
No, I don't think I have much more to add, but one thing I would love to add is just, I think, gratitude for our city and for our community. And I think, like, as someone who's worked with EYA for several years, I've seen a lot of growth in support for our organization over the past year. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's been a part of that, to all of our donors and all of our funders. And yeah, we're just so grateful for those relationships, and EY couldn't be what it is today without the help of our community. So yeah, just wanted to do a big thank you and big like virtual hug for that.
And thank you so much for sharing that with us, and also with the Downtown Eastside and Strathcona communities as an offering. We really appreciate that. And we'd love to have you back on when the registrations open up again too for the spring programs.
That would be wonderful. Yeah, we'll reconnect in early next year on that.
Thank you. We'll stay healthy.
Yes, you too.
And that was Marika van Reewijk. She is program director with the Environmental Youth Alliance. You can find out more information at eya.ca.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.
After my heart attack,
Cash from Active Care meant I had choices.
When I had cancer, cash from Active Care meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is Active Care? Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. Active Care gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit colonialpenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit colonialpenn.com.
At Bromwich & Smith, we hope you haven't heard of us, because we hope you haven't had to deal with mounting debt. But if you are starting to feel debt's pressure, our hope is to provide you with hope. Bromwich & Smith is a licensed insolvency trustee committed to providing debt relief. To learn about consumer proposals, a flexible, federally protected alternative to bankruptcy, visit bromwichandsmith.com, spelled B-R-O-M-W-I-C-H and smith.com.